Get the next one, baby, we're going to live on this one. Get the next one, say, honey, we're going to put something up out of this one. Say, baby, we got a week coming in about 8 months. We're going to take a little vacation. Oh, I start feeling like a big Bilalian. You know what I mean. And you know what I heard people of the community were saying, then called the Lost Foundation this long? That Wallace, he's suffering bad. He's a bum. He walks around the street looking like a bum. They weren't able to distinguish between a successful working man and a bum. Just because I had on pants and a sports shirt or a work shirt, they thought I was a bum. That bum sometimes was walking around with $300 in his pocket. But look how long I had to suffer. For years, I'm telling you, for about 3 years, I had it real hard. Real hard. But Allah blessed me with a good job. And this is how God is. He don't just bless you. He conditions you so you can benefit from your blessings in many, many ways. Now I'm telling you, if I was in your place, I would be happy to get a leader like Wallace D. Muhammad. I don't mind right now. If there's a job to do here, I don't care what it is. If we have to wash the seats, wash the floor, wash the building down, I don't care what it is. If it's a job to do, I'm not too important or too above you to get down, as long as you have to get to do a decent job. And I don't look poor to make you think I'm poor. Let me tell you something, I ain't poor. I got over $10,000 in the bank. That's my money. I want you to know it. If I wanted diamond rings, I could wear them. I got wealthy people in America and outside of America who told me, look, a man like you, don't you want for anything. If you want something, come and ask for it. Just let us know, and we'll see that you don't have to worry about a thing. If I wanted a Rolls Royce, at every stop I make in the week, a Rolls Royce could be sitting at every stop I make in the week. I could have me a diamond suit made. I'm telling you, I know people right now who got billions who will give me a diamond suit if I ask for it. No, I want to correct that now. These people ain't that big a fool. But if I made them think that I was going to get this money and use it wisely and as Wallace D. Muhammad would use it, I could get enough to get myself a diamond suit. Yeah. But I don't want no diamond. You don't see any ring on my finger. I got a watch now, but it's not on my hand. I got some kind of strange remembrance, I guess, of wearing a shackle once upon a time, maybe 200 or 300 years ago. Every time I put a watch or something on, it just irritates my wrist. And I don't know, some kind of way my ancestor must have spooked me up or something. When I put a tie on my neck, it's okay until I do this, tighten it up. Once I tighten it up, good God Almighty, I got to come out of it. I don't know, something happened to me, I just can't forget what happened a long time ago. I don't want all of these fancy things that make me look like I'm a prince and I ain't nothing but a corrupt bum. I want to be what I am. I want to be what I look like I am. You see, got on a clean shirt. I put it on fresh today. I got on clean underwear. I put on clean underwear fresh every day. Clean socks every day. You know how many pair of socks I got at home to wear? I don't have 7 pair of socks. I wash my socks out myself at night and hang them up. I got clean socks every morning. Do you know I got suit pants and suit jackets that I can throw in the washing machine? And I put them on and nobody knows the difference? You know I cut my own hair? I can pay a barber. I could get a man $10 a minute to cut my hair. I cut my own hair. I don't have any servants. I serve myself, I serve my wife, I serve my children, I serve you, and I'm a happy man. All praises due to Allah. I am a happy man. My wife looked at me, she said, how can you be so peaceful hearing the things that you hear, knowing the things that you know? I tell her, girl, I said, look here. I can be sitting on Satan's knee in the depths of hell. But as long as I have this submissive spirit to my God, I'm going to be in heaven. That's the key, people. Submit yourself totally, completely to the will of Almighty God. He's not going to leave you suffering. You might have to sweat sometimes. You might have to wonder how you're going to get this. Your friends might turn their backs on you. Your husband might leave you. But let me tell you something. If you just hold on, God is the compensator. He's going to compensate you so much that you won't even have one sad thought about what happened behind you in the road. I'd be a fool to choose that is made over the Maker. There's only two real things to choose from in this world, the Maker and the Made, the Creator and the Created. I choose the Creator. And I found that it's a wise choice. It pays off an unimaginable dividend. I remember when people used to laugh at me. You're too spiritual. You take your religion too serious. But look at Wallace D. Muhammad now. Oh, my God. I can ride on 747 until their gas run out. My money ain't gonna run out. Because God has given me a fountain that keeps pouring. Well, Chief, what do you need us for? Because Allah loves you and I have to serve my God. That's why I need you. I don't need you for myself personally. I can go to South Africa tonight. And believe me, in a few months, I'll be comfortable in South Africa. Allah will bless me with people who love the truth and give me friends and all I need for my happiness in South Africa, in that old terrible part of the world. I could go to Asia. I could even go to Communist China. Why? Because I have stood up for something that touches the human heart. And I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what your ideology is. What I'll say Everybody recognizes who have an ear to hear. I speak one language, the language of humanity. And God has given me a friend everywhere on this earth. But I choose to stay among you. Why? Because I know, though you are deepest in the grave of worldly confusion, of selfish ideas, I know your capacity for healthy, strong development is larger than that of any people on this earth. I'm investing in a field that's richer than any field on earth. Not in material things, but in human sense, in spiritual sense, in a moral sense, in a human sense. This field in America among my Belarian people is the richest on the face of the earth. I couldn't go to Mecca and find as much of a future for the building of God's kingdom that I find here among you. Nowhere on this earth is there grander opportunities for the cultivation of the society that Allah wants on this earth than it is right here with you. You accuse me of taking your bean soup away. You accuse me of taking your brown rice away. Accuse me of taking your FOI suit off of you. Accuse me of taking your Peruvian fish out of your hand. I didn't do all those things you accuse me of. I still love you. And I'm going to stay here and teach you until you chase me out. Now, if you want to chase me out, you go on and do it. But I'm going to stay here with you. And I'm going to tell you that Yaqub's history is a beautiful myth. I'm going to tell you that you can read out of that myth a lot of significant things. But if you accept it as reality, you are doomed. Your brains will never come to full blossom. You will never be completely free. And if you remember back, you will recall that with all of your dignity, with all of your blackness, with all of your science of Yaqub's history, etc., deportation of the moon, the cracking of the atom, and all of those powerful psychological elements that were in the first resurrection, you were still inferior-minded. If we had taken Master Farah's picture and put some black paint on it and a big fat nose on it, some nappy hair on it, you would have left the temple. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you were different, but you were one among a few that were different. Most of us were trying to look Caucasian while we were preaching that black was God. Brother shaved his head clean because he don't want no naps showing. I don't mean all of you, but a great number of you. Oh, I got to get rid of this sign of inferiority. I can't brush it till it gets straight, so I'm going to shave it off. Sisters kept their head wrapped up so tight. Well, how come that sister keep her head wrapped up so tight? Is she that devoted to the faith? That sister didn't want no naps to show. Those that went to the hairdresser and got that hair pulled straight had those long, pretty curls. Oh, the officer had to always say, "Sister, pull up that hair. Sister, pull up that hair." You know, we can laugh at it now, can't we? Oh, yeah. We are mighty people. We are great people. We can laugh at things that would kill, cause other people to have a heart attack. If other people would have told on them publicly the things that I tell on you and that you tell on yourself, oh, they would wither away, they would shrivel up like dust, like mold, disappear somewhere. But we are great people. We are happy to be relieved. We are happy to get the artificial burden off our minds and our hearts. So we can laugh at it. And that's healthy. That's beautiful. That shows that we don't need those artificial things. But if we can't laugh, if we can't relax, if we can't face the fact of what our life was, and maybe some of your life still is, that means that we are yet a slave of these artificial things. Dear beloved people, I want to tell you that Almighty God, the God who made the skies and the earth and all between, as the Quran teaches us, is not necessarily on our side, but His will today for us and the world, if you understood it, would make you feel very special. This old world drifted away from natural life into artificial mentality, artificial humanism, and justified the slave system. Justified reducing Bilalian people, Afro-American people, black people to a state subhuman. Just wrote us off as people not entitled to be treated as human beings on a plane, on a level of equality with other people. Now, we, the descendants of those people who were treated like that, lynched, sometimes for just speaking up as a human being, lynched for just questioning the inhuman treatment that they received. Now here we, the descendants of those poor mistreated slaves, are standing up in America, teaching the Caucasian, teaching America, teaching the world how to be real human beings. That's the beauty of it. Look at here, that's a reward more precious than anything you can imagine. God has made it possible for me to survive 300 years or more of inhuman treatment, have made me survive being reduced to the life of a pig, a dog. for 3 centuries. And I stand up now in 1977 in perfect human shape. With the dignity of people who have never experienced any inferiority. And I don't just demand that I get human treatment, but I demand that the mind and the soul, the hearts of the people be made human or be destroyed. I have become the general, the leader of the world army against racism. And just yesterday, I was in the prison of the racist. And even though I yelled so loud, the voice shook the side of the carbine mecca, seeing that nobody heard me. And now today I'm free. I walk on 2 legs like a man. And I tell the Pope, if you think you've got an argument against me, come on, Mr. Pope, I'll meet you on any ground. Not that the Pope is a racist, but the Pope, he's the high figure in the Western world, who should have been responsible in his world for what took place in his world against me. So if he has any justifications in Scripture for what was done, that it should continue now in this day and time, I say, come on out, Mr. Pope. I can teach your Bible better than you can. A special blessing to you. Isn't this more important than being physically black? Brothers and sisters, wake up. We have been through a special hell and we have come into a special glory. Don't lose your special glory trying to get something that you lost back there in your special hell. Leave everything back there and come on. We'll be victorious, not with artillery, hardware of this world, but with truth, the bullets that go directly to the brain and the heart. Don't leave a puncture on the skin, but kill all enemies. And it so happened that what we use today is really the superior weapon today. Do you think physical guns are the superior weapon of this modern age? Do you think all the stockpile of nuclear weapons, rockets, anti-missiles, and everything, do you think those are the superior weapons of this day and time? Those things are not obsolete, I heard someone say. Those things are not of very much importance today. Because if you use them, you finish yourself off as well as your enemy. The thing that really counts today is knowledge. Knowledge that goes home and strikes falsehood, as the Holy Quran says, in the brain and knock out his brain. That's the weapon of today. You want to win? Get real truth, and you'll win. But, mister, can this religious message of yours put more chicken in the pot? Yes, it can. Can it get me a better home? Yes, sir, it can. Can it bring restoration? to our social life, to our spiritual life, to our natural life? Yes. This is the answer. Where do you think all of it began? All of it began right here. If nothing happens here, nothing can happen over there. It must first happen here. The man who got his mule and started farming, he had to first make up his mind here that he needed a mule, needed to farm, and make himself some get a harvest. He had to first get it here. All of our problems can be solved here. Once you solve it here, you don't have to worry about the feet moving, doing the right thing, the hands moving, doing the right thing. Show me a lazy bum who have no incentive, who have no industriousness about him. I'll show you somebody that have a graveyard in his head. Let me come in there and throw out those old dead bones, remove those tombstones, and plant Quranic teachings in the land of his head. And I'll show you in a little while, you will see an industrious man come into being. All right. We have to know human nature. We have to know our place in creation. When we know this and believe it, we make progress. We come into a new life. I'm not in this creation to live as a cow, to eat straw, drink water, stay in a corral, be milked, have sex and die. I'm not here for that. Now, some of you will fight against someone who's trying to pull you out of the form of a cow. Or this nigga trying to take our good, comfortable corral away from us. Don't want us chewing alfalfa. Saying we ought not be milked all the time. We ought to be able to drink some of our milk. Hell, we progress better when we milk. When we milk, we have assurance that we're going to have a corral. But Allah says that He has not made you to be cattle. He doesn't want you living like cattle, living just to eat, sleep, have sex, and die. He wants you to have charge of your life. If there's a fence around your life, you ought to build that fence. Or at least be, to have some part, or take some part in the building of that fence. You have to take the responsibility on yourself for your life, for your future. The only way you can do that in America or in any other nation, you have to identify with that nation. What do I mean by that? I mean that you can't live in America and grow unless you identify as a person with this land. You can't go out there thinking that this is the white man's land and make progress in this country. You have to go out there knowing that this is your land. You don't want your share of it? Give it to me. Your body can't grow where your mind is not. If you want your body to grow, put your mind in it. Put your mind where your body is. I can't grow in the United States with my mind in Africa or in Arabia. My mind has to be in the United States. Don't you know you can't work for something that you don't identify with? The reason why you work so hard for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is because he gave you a sense of identification with the thing that you are proud of. You can work the same way in America at a job with some company or in your own business. You can work with the same dedication. You can get the same results from yourself if you will just identify with the land that you're living on and probably will die on, as you identified once with the Nation of Islam in America. I can't identify with America. I can't identify with this devil country. If you don't identify with it, you're going to be another devil on it. All the trouble we have is with people who can't identify with it. The KKK, they can't identify with it. The dope pushers, they can't identify with it. All the trouble we got is because people can't identify with the land we on. And if you can't identify with it, you're going to be mistreating somebody, putting hell into somebody's life. What's wrong with the land? Thank Allah, I've been all over the world. Been the Far East, Near East, West, North, West, and South. And I look at the land, this land looks beautiful to me. I don't see nothing wrong with it. But the white man got it. That ain't nothing wrong with the land, that's something wrong with your mind. Why don't you get some of it? You have as much right to it as anybody else. Aren't you a citizen? So don't say this is a white man's country. I don't have nothing here. You got citizenship. Get some of it. They won't give me a chance. They didn't tell the Indian you won't give me a chance. They took a chance. And they had less rights here than you have here. You a citizen. This is your government. This is your country. They were trying to snatch off a piece of country and a piece of government. But you have a legitimate legal right here, constitutional right. They ain't gonna let me get nowhere. Stop giving me that old lazy excuse. You don't want to move your lazy legs. You'd rather sleep than think. What I mean by that, you'd rather put up false excuses than to face reality. You ain't got number 2 years education in grade school. You can't read well. You can't talk well. You are lazy. You want your wife to take care of you with checks from the government, from the citizens' tax money. That's your problem. Get yourself together. If you don't know how to read and write well enough, if you don't have a high school diploma, you got a problem? No, because man might be in such bad shape he can't go to school. Sometimes you've been shut out of it so long until it's impossible to go into it. You don't have to learn how to write and read to be progressive. I guarantee you, if you will just love what I'm doing and do whatever you can to help what I'm doing, if it's just saying, "Assalamu alaikum, brother. Assalamu alaikum, sister. I'm proud and happy to be a Muslim, a part of this new world community of Islam, the West." I guarantee you, you can talk your way into better shape if you talk up for what I'm doing. There's hope for everybody. There's so many opportunities available now, open up now. I don't know anybody who ought to be suffering or who must suffer. You don't have to suffer. Be like I am. Be determined. Don't let nothing kill your faith in Allah and in your ability to survive and eventually triumph. You have to be determined like that. You can't read or write, that's something you can do. Don't give up. You can make it. Now, if this old world would just accept advice from what they call an uneducated, unprofessional man, me with my little worldly sense could direct this world out of its problems. Let me tell you what's wrong with America. America has grown too big for its old solution. America needs new solutions to problems. Welfare ain't gonna solve no problems. Welfare is gonna worsen the problem. Welfare destroys the society. Charity is good, but welfare is bad. You give welfare to my family? My wife gets the check? You don't give a job to me? My wife becomes the breadwinner. Worse than that, she becomes your wife. Because you're giving her the check. I ain't giving her the check. See me as her physical husband, but you have taken my place in my house. My children grow up and they know that I'm a healthy man. I have my eyes, I have my health, I have my strength, I can work, but no work. They find out that really they were raised by the welfare department. Raised up, taken care of, raised up, sent through school and everything by public aid. So who's their daddy? Who do they feel grateful to? Who will they respect? That's the problem. That's the growing problem in America in these big cities. They are robbing the man of every opportunity to establish himself as a husband and a father in his house. A man needs work. if you don't give a man work who have energy and a mind to work, he's going to get some work. So if he can't get a legal job, a decent job, an acceptable job, he'll pick up a switchblade or a gun and go out and get the money the unlawful way. Kill people. Maim people. Destroy property. Why? Because that man ain't got nothing to do. I would rather see America assign jobless men to go out and make a gesture, to make a gesture. Just an empty movement that means nothing other than movement. And pay us from going out there and just act like we're doing something. Yeah. Sound like you got your welfare check coming this week because you went out and for 8 hours you were out there hammering the imaginary pavement. Anything. I'm telling you, it would bring health back into the lives of our people, of our men. If we don't give ourselves something to do, a man has to have some sense of accomplishment. Go get up, got nowhere to go, listen to the records, watch TV, go out, stand on the corner, or lay up in some dark, hot hole with some dark, hot. Yeah. Pretty good. But not good enough. I didn't mean to do that one. Now. That slipped. So what happened to the spirit of that man? What happened to the will of that man? It gets weaker and weaker. Pretty soon he don't care whether he spend that night or that day in the bed with a woman, a boy, a man, a horse, a mule, a dog. He don't care what he lay up there with. In time, you kill everything in the man. He loses the love and his respect for everything that he once loved and respected. Instead of welfare, give the check, but give the people something to do. Tell them, go out and exercise. That's right. Sign teams. All this money they're spending in these welfare departments, if they spend a little bit on some healthy, strong men that want to do something, they could form some exercise teams. And they could make the men get out and exercise. That way, if somebody invade us and didn't come with rockets, we'd be able to handle them. Well, you let somebody invade all these dope addicts and pimps and whatnot, I'm telling you, we'd be finished. Bunch of welfare sissies, they couldn't turn back women in skirts. This whole world needs attention bad. We need to look at what we're doing in America and look at what is needed and then reorder this whole world to serve the real human needs. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow, Paul, that was a powerful speech. I think one that surprised me in its forcefulness. What about you?
Same here. It was impressive. It was different from obviously from his father's rhetoric. As a matter of fact, he often criticized his father's rhetoric, and this speech is similar to speeches he's given in the past, over the past 2 years, and it's impressive because he said that he was not going to engage in empty rhetoric. He's reminding the followers that he's in charge now. He's laid down the law. He's made those drastic changes that we spoke of, and now he has to defend those changes and try and maintain them. But we don't see yet. We don't see what's happening behind the scenes. If what kind of pressures are on him? Obviously, as we looked at the speech, some points where he criticized the past, and the camera panned the audience, you could see there was a little response from some people. The enthusiasm is gone because his rhetoric doesn't sound like the rhetoric of his father. The reaction of the audience showed us that there are a lot of people out there who didn't like what he was saying about the past.
Well, the words are different. Obviously, the message is different. But what's